You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Hudson River School produced some of the earliest American painters of note, and yet even most art historians are unfamiliar with the influential female painters in the group. An exhibit at the Thomas Cole National Historic Site in Catskill, New York, called Remember the Ladies, Women Artists of the Hudson River School, seeks to address that. It features about 25 works by women artists associated with the movement, and it's on view now through October 31st. Jennifer Krieger and Nancy Siegel are the co-curators of the exhibit, and I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show now. Hi.
Thank you so much.
Nancy, how did the Hudson River Valley come to inspire an art movement? Was this a totally American enterprise, or were they aware of the French artists of the Barbizon School who were also taking their easels and canvases outdoors? Or I guess Constable was also painting outside.
Well, absolutely. The American tradition does build off of a European tradition. But what's so wonderful about the American landscape movement that really begins in the late 1820s and 30s with someone like Thomas Cole is if you go to the Thomas Cole National Historic Site and you stand on, they have this beautiful wraparound porch, and you are there looking at this awesome landscape, you get a real sense of what was inspiring them. So while, while they formerly may have been building off of a strong European tradition, what we find is that these are artists who took direct inspiration from the landscape that was around them.
And were they trying to come up with something that looked particularly American?
I think so. And part of this was also a confluence of interesting events, that there's a tourist industry that develops by the 1820s. So people are interested in seeing the American landscape. And when Thomas Cole first goes up the Hudson River in 1825, it's really about only 50 years after the Declaration of Independence. And so there's this whole notion about nationalism and will this democratic experiment work? So interest grows about what we fought for and what the land looks like.
Well, so far, the only artist we've talked about is a man, Thomas Cole, and he's the most famous artist to come out of this movement. Was he the best, do you think? Does he set the tone for everybody else?
I certainly think that with the scale and heroicism of his pictures, he was really the right founding father of the movement. A lot of the subjects that he tackled and so forth had this really epic quality to them that really led the movement forward in a very enthusiastic way and brought other artists along with him, very inspiring.
And then they seemed to inspire a lot of photographers when they went west. In fact, I would say that the ultimate inspiration, the major influence ultimately was all those photographers of the late 19th century all the way through to Ansel Adams.
Well, actually, one of the artists that we're documenting in the exhibition, Eliza Greatorex, led one of the first Western surveys. Most people don't know about it. But in 1873, she went to Colorado Springs and wrote a book called Summer Etchings in Colorado and painted and sketched along the journey. And having actually been in Colorado Springs this past weekend myself, to think that a woman artist was there doing these things at that time, only 2 years after the Hayden survey in which Thomas Moran had participated, is really incredible. And to think of these women doing that in petticoats and corsets and so forth.
Were they all well known at the time, or was it mostly Thomas Cole?
I think it was mostly Thomas Cole.
And I think also what's interesting is Thomas Cole was not alone when he was in the Catskill Mountains or as he's traveling about New York State. And what we found through our research was that many of these women were right there alongside artists like Cole or Asher Durand.
In some cases, they're related to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So part of the impetus for doing this show was to sort of take them out of that familial role and really highlight their efforts.
Well, let's put everything into context here. Was there much landscape painting in America before this? The artists that I think of are of the most important were Copley, Gilbert Stuart, Benjamin West. They were more interested in portraiture and historical painting.
Right. And as you get a growing middle class, the idea of a wider array and interest in subject matter grows as well, because clearly portraits would be significant to the people to whom they were related. But beyond that, there was a growing market for different types of imagery. And landscape paintings really fit that bill, because these were also people who could now afford to buy books that had engraved illustrations of the landscape. And these were the same people who were traveling in the canal boats and taking vacations to these areas in the American landscape. So it served as a reminder of places they had been.
Nancy, would these, the women involved, have received any kind of serious art training? Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Jennifer.
Oh, yes. Some of them were able to receive art training through, as we had said, relatives, through friends of the family, through even a collaborator in the sense of Mary Blood Mellon was an apprentice to Fitzhenry Lane.
Well, two of the women are Thomas Cole's sister and daughter, Sarah and Emily Cole.
Right. So they would have and Julie Hart Beers was the sister to James and William McDougall Hart. So they definitely had exposure through the connections that they had. Most formal art academies did not admit women, but they were able to find other venues in which to edify themselves.
Are we just trying to be nice here, or are these really interesting artists?
These are really interesting
artists.
Yeah,
they're deeply talented painters. And when you see them on the same level or at the same time as their male counterparts, you really see that their talents equal those of the male artists.
So why do you think they've all faded into obscurity, especially when 30 years ago or so, there were so many people searching for role models in the past?
I think part of it is the scarcity of their work. Even we had a challenge in trying to amass a larger group of their paintings because there weren't too many of them. And that's part of our hope with the exhibition is to bring more of these pictures to light. But part of it is the sheer number, and they don't have the name recognition, but we plan to change that.
Do we see differences in their styles, or do they seem to be interchangeable with the other painters of the Hudson, what do we call it, River School?
Mm-hmm. I think for the organizing factor of this exhibition was to find these incredible women artists. But when you walk into the exhibition room, first and foremost, the impression is these are just exquisite paintings. So we don't really discuss these in terms of our project, that there's a gendered hand per se. But clearly that was part of scholarship that was happening in the 1880s. There were critics who wanted to see if there were ways in which women would draw lines differently from men, for example. And so for us, the idea of while gender organized this exhibition, it really is about these incredible landscapes and also the amazing lives that these women led.
Well, they had certain obstacles that that women might not have today. For example, if you want to paint outside now, you just go out in jeans or paint-stained clothing. But in those days, that would not have been allowed. These are women who are hiking in and camping and wearing full skirts.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, not only are they remarkable for their talent, but also for their constitution. Susie Barstow was another artist that we highlight, and she was considered a peak bagger. She was known to have trekked 25 miles a day at times, and she did so in traditional female dress, which at the time was extremely limiting.
Were these women accepted at the time? How were they received by their contemporaries? Did they show?
They did show. And if you look at the exhibition records from places like the National Academy of Design, you see that they're replete with listings by these women artists. I think it's also so interesting about the costume is that when pantaloons were invented and some of these women would go out and hide them underneath their dresses because it was seen as so scandalous that a woman would attempt to dress like a man. And Harper's Weekly has these fabulous cartoons that lampoon the efforts of women who are trying to be like men. And I think for the women in this exhibition, they weren't trying to be like men. They were trying to be artists. And in that respect, they traveled with male counterparts and their female companions as well. So it doesn't seem from the evidence that we found in terms of letters and diaries that they were so concerned about their gender as they were about making sure they could get to a high peak or that they could find these places of exquisite beauty.
Well, I'm assuming that they probably set up their easels side by side, maybe two or three at the same time. So do we have any examples of the same scene being painted by them and Thomas Cole or one of the other men in the group?
Oh, sure. Places in the Catskills, for example, would have been so popular for a wide variety of artists. And so something like Catterskill Falls is a location that you see just so many different variations from different venues there.
Charlotte Buell Komen. Is it Komen?
Komen.
Didn't begin painting professionally until she was almost 40. That seems rather unusual under any circumstances. What brought her to painting?
Well, she was, in a sense, a late bloomer, but it was also at that point that she did get the exposure to European training. She was actually one of the few female painters that got that kind of exposure and was able to get recognition abroad. So it was actually perfect timing, and there was a sort of a wider audience to observe women at that time in the later 19th century.
You've borrowed your title for the exhibition, Remember the Ladies, from Abigail Adams' letters about the American Revolution. Well, I mean, we understand why you said Remember the Ladies, but do you see any connection beyond that?
Oh, absolutely. When the nation is first established, there are ways in which women played an incredibly significant role, politically as well as aesthetically. So what an innovative woman like Abigail Adams says in these letters to her husband is, I think, part of a more general parlance that was occurring in the late 18th and then into the 19th century.
This is a traveling exhibit. Where's it going next?
Well, we're repackaging it. It's going to have a rest for a little while, and we're developing a show that's about three times as large. And we're talking to some museums in major metropolitan areas in Washington, D.C., and New York, and Massachusetts. So,
you said that it was hard to locate them originally. Are most of them privately owned?
A lot of them are. Some of them we did borrow from museums and so forth. But that's the work that we're trying to do, is to locate more pictures. So we're hoping that even listeners could inform us if they know of any.
For New Yorkers who really don't know much about the Catskills, how do you get to the Thomas Cole National Historic Site in Catskill, New York?
Well, it's not too far away. It's really only a couple of hours from the city. And one of the easiest ways
to drive?
Is
can you take the train?
You can take the train. You can take the train to Hudson, and then it's a short cab ride away to go to Catskill, maybe 5 minutes.
And the drive is beautiful right now.
Up
the thruway is the perfect time to go while the show is still there. You see the leaves changing. It's a beautiful time of year. And then you get to the Thomas Cole House, and you see the paintings that reflect the same kind of landscape that you're seeing during your drive.
And the show is on view through October 31st. You can get a sense of what it's like because we have put a slideshow on our website at WNYC.org. Just go to the Lopate show page. And I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us today, Jennifer Krieger and Nancy Siegel, the co-curators of this exhibit called Remember the Ladies, Women Artists of the Hudson River School.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.